All the glory we give it to you, Lord Jesus.
We love and adore you, Jesus.
You are high and lifted up, and your glory fills this house. As we enter into your presence,
we love you, Jesus.
Have your way, Lord.
Oh, how we love you and adore you. We just magnify you.
We worship you,
Jesus.
Holy Lord, holy Lord. We long for you. We long for you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I had a beautiful picture the other day that the Lord gave me that was just really something simple. I was walking on the treadmill and walking real fast, and so it's hard to hold on to the rails on the side, and they get slippery, and your wrists get tired. And so Bronky, he told me to get a couple of belts and loop them around and hang on in the front. So I've been doing that the past few days, and it makes it easier. And I was thinking about how I was like walking along there, and I was thinking about the farmer when he plows a field. That's kind of how it felt, the old time plows that you'd get behind the horses and hold the plow, and you'd go along. Well, those belts helped me to stay steady so I wouldn't fall. And I was thinking, Lord, it's just like you to hold us steady.
Yes.
He's like the belt that holds us and keeps us from falling and hurting ourselves.
Yes. Hallelujah.
The word says that the harvest is ready and the laborers are few. And I thought while I was pushing that plow in my mind, I was thinking, Lord, I want to be your laborer.
Yes,
I want to plow the fields, Jesus.
Yes.
Because your harvest is ready. You are ready, Lord, to harvest. So, Lord, we want to make the fields of Immokalee. We want to make them ready for you, Jesus.
Yes,
we
yes.
want every single person in this town to
yes,
know you.
Lord God.
Not one more accident to take anyone out that they don't know you. Lord, I say everyone here will know you
yes.
because we are just a few of your laborers, Jesus. And we will do what you ask of us. We will lift them up to you. And we thank you, Lord, that not one would be lost. Not one of our neighbors. I say that everyone in this town is born again. And Lord, your word says that you added to the church such as should be saved. So, Lord, that you have those that you have to come into this place. Or any other church in this town. Lord, I say, add them. Add them to us, Lord Jesus. Add them. Add them in, Lord Jesus. Woo their hearts. Woo their hearts, Holy Spirit. Draw them. And remove the blinders from their eyes that they can see the truth. That they need you, Jesus. Nothing else. Because you are the way, Lord. Right now, Lord, we just want to worship you. Because we don't know what else to do. We don't know what else to do, Lord. We're worthless without you. So we need your direction. We need your direction, Lord. If you want us to worship you, that's what we're here for. If you want anything else, Lord, you'll have to say it real clear. Because we want to hear you, Jesus. We worship you. We give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And we lay every crown at your feet, Lord. Because we're nothing in ourselves. But when you have your way in us, Jesus, we are your jewels. We are your jewels, Lord. Oh, we love to live for you.
Oh, hallelujah.
We love the life that you have given us in you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, yes.
So wonderful.
Hallelujah.
So glorious to walk
you,
day by day, knowing that we're walking in your footsteps, Jesus. We want to love you more, Jesus. We invite you as you invite us into your presence. We invite you, Lord, to always be with us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are most worthy, Lord. Most wonderful God. You are our peace. You are the glory and the lifter of our heads, Jesus. We bless your holy name. We bless you, Jesus. Glory and honor and praise. Glory and honor and praise, Jesus. We bow down before you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Worship you. Worship you. We worship you, Lord.
Won't you just tell him how worthy he is, that he's worthy of it all. Every crown to be cast at his feet, everything to be given to him, all glory, praise, and honor. We worship you, Jesus. You're so worthy. You're worthy of it all, Lord. You're worthy of it all. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we see this great harvest. We see those masses in front of us. Lord, like sheaves in the field waving, thousands and thousands with their hands lifted, worshiping you and telling you, like we're telling you tonight, that you're worthy of it all. Lord, this is your harvest. We ask you for the loaves. We visit you tonight. We cry from without to within. We seek, we ask, we knock. Give us, Lord, the bread of heaven. Give us what we do not have in ourself. Give us the endurance. Give us the patience. Give us the love that all nations need. Lord, that no man will be left out in this. That no man's world will be left out in this. To the young, to the old, to the rich, to the poor. Lord, to everyone in between, to every imaginable walk of life. Father, we join in with your harvesters around the world. We receive this outpouring. We receive this outpouring in Immokalee. We receive this outpouring in this region of Florida. Father, as you begin to connect us and our anointing with others' anointings, and Lord God, you begin to bring a cascade on this planet. We thank you, Lord, that we will not be left out. We thank you, Lord, that the portion of our bread will be dealt to us. We thank you, Father, that everything that we have need of in this life to see that harvest will be thoroughly furnished to us. Beginning first in that place of intimacy, fellowship with the Father, knowing who we are in Christ, knowing what has been paid for us and what is in front of us. We love you, Father. This is the day. Elijah. Power's coming to the church. It's always been. It's just been missing underground for a long time. Moses, scepter of righteousness, law of the heart now, not on tablets made of stone. Harvest, my God. Tabernacle of David, continual, nonstop worship. Hallelujah. Praise God. I say pour it on in this house. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you know you're part of the latter rain? You're part of the what we get to make the first church look really good. We finish it up. Praise God. And if it started in power, what's it going to end up with? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Luke said, oh, dear Theophilus, I want to tell you with infallible proof. Infallible proof, his disciples saw him 40 days after his resurrection. His disciples saw his glorified body walking around on this planet. At one time, above 500 saw him all at one time. It had to be the day that he left. They were standing there. He said, go wait. Go wait for the promise of the Father. Because not many days from now, you're going to be filled. Glory be to God. Well, 40 days. So he was crucified on the Passover. And the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, which was 50 days from Passover. 50 days exactly. And if he was seen 40 days from his passion, Luke says, then there was about 10 days where that bunch had to go back, get up in a room. The part that always amazed me, I don't feel too bad about a few empty chairs on a Wednesday night. 500 people above, it says, I don't know how far above, but 500 heard his last words. And the last thing he told them is, go tarry and wait for the promise of the Father. And then as he's doing that, he's talking to them, and the guys in the back row says, you know, looks like he's getting taller. What's wrong with him? And then a little bit he's levitating about 6 foot off the crowd, giving them his last words. And they're thinking, this is not normal. And as he's getting higher and higher, go wait for the promise of the Father is coming. Tarry and wait for the promise. He's getting higher and higher. And they stand there. I mean, broke necks, man, watching him. Looking up, they failed to notice the two guys that just appeared in front of them. Two angels appeared to that bunch. Now, can you imagine you're looking up? You're watching him just get higher and higher, and he's getting higher. And everybody, and nobody's taking their eyes off of him. And then all of a sudden, I mean, you're in a big circle probably looking up, and then right in the middle of you, right in the midst, somebody says, he's coming back. The same way he left. Why stand you gazing? They said, don't just continue to stand. The same Jesus that you're watching. Bye-bye. Bye. Look, it's like a kite. Just saw a little bit left of him there. He's gone now. This same Jesus, now they're listening to them too. Two witnesses standing and say, this same Jesus that you're watching will return in like manner. Guess what? Before he comes back, he's going to get all of that we just sang about. So 500 standing there, and he just told them while he's going higher and higher, go wait for the promise of the Father. Do you know 120 was all that showed up? Now, if somebody leaves the planet like that, telling you to go wait, you'd think you'd cancel anything that you had. Well, there's about 10 days left. 40 days he's around them, and it's about 10 days left to Pentecost. So they're waiting in that upper room, and they don't know what you and I know. We've just prayed in the Spirit, rejoiced in the Spirit, prayed in tongues, shouted. Nobody's spoken tongues yet. And I guarantee you, I mean, between bathroom breaks and somebody going out to get food and bringing it up, and somebody having to go check on the kids and this, that, and the other, and a whole bunch of other stuff that's just human stuff. People are asking questions. What do you believe this is going to... What is it? What is the promise? Well, it's the Holy... We know He told us it's the Holy Spirit. Well, what's He going to be like? I mean, Is he going to walk through the wall? Or what? What's... I mean, there must have been a lot of discussion. I mean, nobody had been filled yet. What's the promise? The day of Pentecost was fully come. I mean, this is an absolute genius of God. Streets are packed. Squeezed. Just imagine. Men from all over the world, Jews from all over the world, have come to sacrifice or to be a part of Pentecost. 50 days after the Passover. So we think of Pentecost as something now spiritual, but then it was something else to them. Well, they'd come from all over the place. So there, when the day fully comes, I mean, the sun comes up and they're all there. Nobody knows what to expect. I don't know, maybe a few seconds before you might have heard that wind. It might have sounded like some kind of locomotive coming. What is that? What is it? You hear that? Might have been something like some kind of train coming just real strong. They say you can hear a tornado before it ever gets to you. It's a big one. Like a truck. Like a big locomotive. I don't know if there was... And the Bible says that the wind, a rushing mighty wind, came into that place. And this ball of fire explodes in their midst, and the fire comes down on everyone's head. And they're filled with the Holy Ghost, and they begin to speak a language, each one of them speaking languages and languages and languages. And the men on the street are listening, and it's... But the amazing part is it's distinguishable, even though there's a number of languages. All these men begin to hear. That's my language. That's my language. All the different dialects and the different tongues that had come. And they're listening. And that was as supernatural as anything, because all of them are speaking and speaking, but they're picking out their language and they're hearing the oracles of God. They're hearing the message of Christ. They're hearing salvation. And they're amazed. They're amazed. Power has come to the earth. Glory be to God. You think it's going to be any less? My God. I pray to God we have services. We just welcome a word that just feels like this wall is vibrating. It just feels like it's shaking. The Bible says that upper room would just shook. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, they didn't know what they'd got. But Peter steps out and he begins to preach. Oh, he must have felt like I've never preached like this before. He knew what had come. He knew it wasn't him. And he preached a message to those listening. And in that afternoon, that morning, that day, 3,000 people, 3,000 men give their hearts. Filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, this power hadn't hardly even began. They had never worked in this power on their own. They'd always worked under His power. Now it's their power. And Peter and John go up to the temple to pray. And there's this lame man. He's been sitting there. He's above 40 years old, the Bible said, and he's lame, and he's sitting at the gate, the entrance called Beautiful. And he asking alms of everybody that come by. I'm sure they must have seen him many, many times before in the past. And here they come up to him, and he expecting to receive something from them. The Word says, and Peter fastened his eyes on him and said, "Look on us. Silver and gold have I none." But he reached down. I mean, this is the first part of this power that's coming to earth. Reach down, grabbed hold of his hand in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And the Bible says that the man, his ankle bones, his legs received strength, and he followed them into the temple and he went walking. We need Marty up here and leaping. I mean, this thing is supposed to be very, very exuberant before the world. That's the part of the testimony that the church lacks. Something that the church, that the world looks at and says, oh my God! This thing's it. It's not hid. Look at it. He's boing, 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 boing. And they recognize him. This is the man that's been begging for alms for all these years. Hallelujah. Well, there's a great stir. A great stir as a result of it. And Peter stands up. Okay, well, I got a platform to preach now. Don't think that I healed this man. The man, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, he healed him. And the Bible says above 5,000 got saved that day. Hallelujah. Now it's taken off now. Hallelujah. That's revival. Well, about that time, money starts pouring in. Because everybody starts, you know, just, man, all life is to serve Him and get people saved. That's all they could. It was no longer me, me, me. It was like, okay, I got extra. Let me take what I got and give it to you. So they said, who can distribute this? Well, we can trust the apostles. They're praying. So they brought it in. They started pouring it at their feet and said, use it, use it. Use it for the propagation of the gospel. A couple came in. There was a one man, he gave all, and he was an example of truth. And then it says a couple came in, Ananias and Sapphira. And I never really looked at them as eternally judged. I saw them as crossing a line against the anointing. And he comes in, gives his gift. He said, I've sold some land. There's the land money. And Peter said, Ananias, why is it that Satan has tempted your heart? While it was yours, you could have kept it. And even after you sold it, you could have kept it. But now that you've laid it down in pretense, what you've said is, here. And you know, there was no dialogue. You know, you don't see any dialogue like, okay, the Holy Ghost asked him questions. Is this it? Yes. Is it it? Yes. That wasn't it. He was transgressing against a spirit, an anointing of purity that had come to the church. And he was starting that pretense of manipulation that goes along with those kinds of things. Peter said, Ananias, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? Boom! Just a space of a couple hours, his wife comes in. Howdy. Peter says, I got a question to ask you. Did you sell the land for so much? Oh, yeah, we sold it for so much. He said, well, it's funny you should say that, because the young men who carried your husband out of 2 hours ago, they're back there at the back of the church. And that will see you. The spirit left her. I bet Ananias, when he was standing there in heaven and he saw her coming, I wanted to get back and tell you, don't do it, Sapphira. Don't do it. I wish I'd have left you a message. Couldn't get back. Well, the Bible says great fear fell on the church. Well, I guess so. Well, see, that same God's coming back. We sang about it. Power of Elijah. It's not that he's not a different God. It's just that there's not that kind of anointing. I'd say, well, thank God. Because there'd be a lot of dead preachers. But great fear fell on the church. And the apostles were somewhat glorified in praying and doctrine. And the Bible said no man durst join himself to them, and meaning, I mean, everybody knew where they were at and knew what they were receiving. They just left them alone and magnified their office. And, well, as a result of it, Peter, his shadow, look, boy, I want my shadow like that. I want your shadow like that. Directly after those days, he'd come into the city and they'd just lay him. See, this thing that happens, it's an explosion and you cannot contain it. And it doesn't happen to Pastor Bronk, and it doesn't happen to the elders, and it happens to everybody that steps over into it. That's the plan of God. So his shadow, he was just, as he'd walk in, they'd lay all kind of sick people. And his shadow, if it touched him, they got whole. Well, they come and got the apostles and they put them in jail because they're causing a ruckus. They said, we'll deal with you tomorrow. So on the morrow, they sent, go get them. They come back without them. Where are they? Well, when we got to the jail, we found the cell locked and the jailer standing outside, but there was nobody inside. And we don't know where, and by, while they're talking, somebody else runs in. Hey, you know those guys you're looking for? They're over in the temple preaching. You couldn't scare them off. Couldn't scare them off. They begin to say, well, you guys got money laid at your feet. You're feeding the orphans and the widows. But us Greeks, might have been a little tension there between the Jews and the Greeks. We're being, our widows, we're not really getting our portion. 5 loaves for them, we're getting a couple loaves in the distribution to the saints. Well, Peter says, okay, look. And I like this part. Because this established where I was supposed to go years ago. I knew what I was supposed to do. Peter rose up and he said, okay, why don't you pick out 7 men among you, approved of the Holy Spirit, and we'll look at them, and we'll approve them. And if it's so, then we'll appoint them and they'll tend to the orphans and the widows and make sure they get food and stuff. So they did that. But Peter said, as for us, we're going to give ourselves to nonstop, to the Word and into prayer. Hallelujah. So that's what your pastor ought to be doing. Hallelujah. So anyway, they did. But a couple of those guys, they didn't know that they were supposed to be just waiters. See, that's what revival is. Stephen, when he began to preach, the Bible says that he was one of them, two of them that we know that gave them all, but Stephen and Philip became notable. Stephen, the Bible says that when he began to present the gospel to those he agitated so bad, that it appeared as if his face glowed like an angel. And he preached all the way from Moses, I mean all the way through. And when they could stand it no more, I mean, he said, you crucified the Lord of glory. But he was in a love because, I mean, his face glowed like an angel. They rushed on him. They drug him out of the city. And they stoned him and he was looking up. Same face like an angel. Father, Jesus. He said, I see. Now this is where they really go. I see him. I see my Savior standing up. Nah, I'd have put my rock down, boy. There was a young man there consenting. And if he was consenting, then they were asking him, what do you think about it? He didn't, I'm not going to get my hands dirty. But he had authority, enough authority that he was consenting. If you consent, then you're saying, yeah, he's worthy of death. And I approve. And I've got something to say about it. His name was Saul of Tarsus. He was included in the intercessory prayer, God, of Stephen. And he died calling on God, asking these men to be saved, asking God to save those men. Well, Philip, he didn't know that he was supposed to stay around Jerusalem and just keep waiting on tables. He's just like, I'm called. I got ants in my pants. I got to go do something. They found him down in Samaria, and he's preaching the word and getting people saved and saved. And big shot Peter and John said, we better go down there and see what he's doing. He went down there, and has anybody got filled with the Spirit? No, but hundreds are being saved. And we're baptizing them, getting them saved. Well, let's get them filled too. And they laid hands on them. Got them filled. Well, Philip, he couldn't stand it. Somebody should have said, Philip, don't you know that you're supposed to be back there waiting on tables? See, that's what revival is like. It goes in every direction. And everybody that wants to be can be. And everybody that proves their heart, like, God, I want you. I just want you. It's just like it gets off on them. And there's no real defining, such as like, you're just etched here and you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do this. And you're... The defining just runs over because it's all about getting people born again. So the Spirit said, you can leave. You can leave Samaria. I want you to go. Where do you want me to go? I want you to go out in the desert. Can you imagine this last day call? And God just says, go over there. Just go over there. Well, what am I supposed to... I'm getting people saved. No, go out. I want you to leave now and go out in the desert. Go to Gaza. So he goes to Gaza. He's standing there, and all of a sudden, here comes this chariot. Now, it's not a Ben-Hur little tiny chariot. This is an elaborate carriage, because the money man, the treasurer, and the Bible said he was of a great authority of the queen of Ethiopia, Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. He was her right-hand man. Jesus, or Holy Spirit, said, join yourself to him. Run over there. So the Bible says he ran up. And he heard him reading out of Isaiah. He was led before the shears as a lamb to the slaughter. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, no, I don't. He said, is this man speaking of himself or of somebody else? And he said, I can tell you. So they come up in the chariot with him. You know, it was a... You know, this guy had authority and he was in some kind of carriage, because later on when they find water, he tells the guy, stop. Stop. So they're riding along and he reads this part out of Isaiah, and Philip preaches the gospel to him. And he said, that's Jesus. And he explains the whole thing to him. The whole thing. Philip, you're supposed to be... Do you know you missed your call? You're supposed to be waiting on tables back in Jerusalem. What are you doing out in the desert? And the guy said, well, can I get saved? You sure can. Well, hey, I'd like to be so converted, I'll confess him, I'll baptize. He goes, well, there's water. Hey, you up front. Reaches over, gets a drink of his Dasani, puts it back. It's a nice carriage. Stop. They get down. They go down. And Philip baptizes him. Confession of sin. Gets born again. Confession of sin. Baptizes him in the name of Jesus. And when he comes up, Philip's gone. Now, just think what's going on here. He reaches this man, this eunuch from Ethiopia, which is the treasurer of the queen, and gets him born again. And then he takes, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says he's caught away, he's translated, when he winds up in a... across the desert, Ashtoth, something like that. And man, the guy, the Bible says, just rejoicing. He went on his way. Now, when he gets back, don't you know he went straight to the queen? Don't you know that he began to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And he could tell them, look, and it's got power. The dude that got me saved, he was there and then he was gone. I mean, he was there and my chariot driver, he can tell them, was he there? Yeah, I saw him. You guys went down in the water and only one of you guys come up. I mean, it was for real. It was for real. Hallelujah. The spurs, all these things happening. What else? About this time, a mean boy called Saul of Tarsus. He's got letters. He's coming down from Jerusalem, going to Damascus. Noonday, he gets slain in the spirit, gets knocked off his horse. The Bible says they could hear a voice. They just couldn't see the vision. And he's looking up and, what? Who is it? It's me, Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Why are you persecuting me, Paul? Well, why did he come? Because of Stephen's prayer, obviously. Stephen stood as an intercessor. The Bible says he was blinded. But then he said he saw in a vision. The Bible says he saw in a vision himself going to this man's house in Damascus. Street called Straight. Can you imagine those guys that were with him? What do you want us to do with you, Paul? Put me back on my horse. He couldn't see. Where do you want us to take you to? Take me to Damascus. They drive, you know, they ride down to Damascus. Where are we going? Find the street called Straight and see if you can find a man there called Ananias. So they find him and he walks in. Ananias has already got a vision too. Come on in, Paul. Laid hands on him. Scales fall off his eyes. Receives Jesus and gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. And the next day, the man's out preaching the gospel. Don't tell me experiences don't change people's lives. I mean, now he takes everything he knew and in a night, it's recalibrated. Now he's a persecutor and he sees everything from this slant, who this man Jesus is. Now it's recalibrated and it's like the Holy Ghost shows him the full illumination of this is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. And the very next day, he's contending with all these people. This is a beautiful circus that's going on. Everybody had a part in it. They were going and coming and the power of God, it was like they could not hardly even keep up. They couldn't keep up. Word switches then. It goes over a little bit to Peter. Peter, then he's called down to a place called Lydda. It's next to Joppa. There was a man there that for 8 years, the Bible said he'd kept his bed. He's laying there sick and he walks in. Peter's on a journey. Get up. Get up. And he gets up. They come and get him from Lydda and say, look, Joppa is right next door. It's right next to the sea. There's a woman there called Dorcas. Yeah. And surnamed. And she was a beautiful woman. She gave alms. She gave prayers. And she died. And would you come and pray? We put her in an upper room. We put her later up in a loft. Will you come and pray for her? Well, Peter just goes with him. And he walks in there. Tabitha. That's her other name. Tabitha, in Jesus' name, get up. She gets up. Hallelujah. You talk about power all through the church. He goes down the street and is staying at Joppa, at Simon the Tanner's house, and then Cornelius, which is a Gentile, who's in Caesarea, calls for him and sends men and says, go see about this Peter. I hear he's at Simon, the tanner's house. And that's when Peter goes up on the roof and has this vision. God shows him, preach the word to the Gentiles. And while he's having this vision, somebody knocks at the door and he goes down and he says, We're Gentiles. We're here from Cornelius's. You know, he's a centurion of the Italian band, certain sect of the Roman Empire, what he ruled over. And he said, he sent for you. Will you come? He's a just man. He gives alms and he's been praying. And four days ago, an angel appeared to him and said for him to send for you. Peter said, I'll come tomorrow. So on tomorrow he left with him, went in there, gets there, and he starts to talk to them. And as he's talking to them, he can't even finish his sermon. The whole bunch of these Gentiles begin, the Holy Ghost just slays them out, and they just begin to pray in other tongues. And the Jews that are with Peter, they're like, gosh, he's going to come on them too. Hallelujah. The days ahead are the most wonderful days that we can imagine. We cannot imagine, but we're trying to. If it's something like that, something like the first church, we won't be able to handle. We'll just have to just receive and just receive and just receive. Somebody will say, Pastor, did you hear what happened to Rex? Marcia? No. I haven't talked to him last week. They're busy, but I got to tell you, or he'll call me, or somebody will tell me, look, they went over to one of the outlaw clubs and drove up there with all the outlaws, and there's one of them had a blind child there. And see, the miracles was the calling card, but the power was there. And Rex laid his hands on her, and Marsha laid it, and immediately he was healed. And there was like, now right now they're getting one or two every few months. Pastor, there was like 16, 17 of them dropped to their knees and got saved all at once. I mean, the reports, and you got to be in that. If he tells you, go over there and just sit at that restaurant. I don't ever eat there. The Holy Spirit will tell you, go. That's just the same thing as going into Gaza, the desert, because I got somebody there that you're going to meet. Matt and Maria called me and say, or somebody said, look, did you hear what happened? No. Well, they went to a Bible study at the college campus, and they were there, and they just started speaking. Then all of a sudden, the power fell. All these kids started getting filled with the Holy Ghost. The glory of the Lord. Melody. Pastor, and most of this I'll be hearing, secondhand. I'll give it to me. Tell me, because everybody's going and coming. And it's not for one person. It's whoever and will step over. Pastor, in my classroom, I don't even know legally what I'm allowed to say or do, but I mean, all these kids are coming up and at lunch break and, they're getting saved. And some of these kids are getting filled with the Holy Ghost right on the campus, right at school. That's what revival is. Revival's in the mall. Revival's in the street. Revival's at the workplace. Revival is wherever the Holy Spirit sends you. And it's going to take place in exploits. It's going to take place where there is going to be major things happening. Oh, don't forget to give them this part too. Just in case you're enjoying the other part too much. Remember, persecution went hand in hand with it. But you got to be strong, because the persecution is worth the benefits. It's worth what we'll be doing for Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you for all of you that thank and pray and bless the church as often as possible. Sometimes the enemy will come in and corral. You know, when the first church started, they had plenty. And then by the time that later on, first part of Acts is Peter, mainly. Latter part of Acts is Paul. It's kind of just Luke talks about a lot about Peter and what went on in Jerusalem. And then if you look at the latter part of Acts, it's mainly Paul and his ministry. In the first part of the book of Acts, there was plenty. Later in years, Paul was having to raise money from other churches to save the church in Jerusalem because they were starving. And the enemy found a way. It came through, primarily at that time, it came through a tremendous drought. Probably the agricultural area just dried up around there. Well, you know, that was the seedbed for revival, so he had to attack it. So it took him years to corral it, but he dried up the finances. One place that is amazing to me, though, that he really never could dry up the finances, it looks like, was Philippi, that he testified in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And he testified of the grace. He was testifying to the church at Corinth. Basically, he was bragging on Macedonia, which was Philippi. He was bragging on them to the Corinthians. And then he also was telling the Corinthians, you know, I've bragged on you to Philippi. So I want you to feel good about yourself. But he said they were willing of themselves to give because they found grace. And he said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet he became poor, that you through his poverty. He testified again in Philippians, and he said, you Philippians, you have supported me when other churches did not. He said, even in Thessalonica, when I was over there, you sent to me twice. Once and again you sent. You found me. You found me. There was some kind of grace, an air of expectation that came on that church, that somehow the enemy couldn't corral. Well, I call this a Philippian church in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So he can't corral it, and he can't corral you in Jesus' name. Listen, pray. Pray for the blessings, the finances of the church. Not only just give, but as you can, but pray as intercessors. Ask him. He'll give you the amount to believe for. I believe in specific amounts. I have a particular amount that I've been confessing year after year. I say at least this amount. You know, here's the thing. God can go way outside of our walls. But he needs intercessors. And he's asking you to ask with us. That's not just your part, what you do financially. But it's you asking too as intercessors, God to help us get the job done. How many of you believe he won't be able to corral us at no time? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You've been a great audience. Father, we just bless this time. Why don't you ask him if you have something to give tonight? We would appreciate it very much. We bless you. Thank you for the upcoming revival. It's going to be fun. It's going to be real, real, real fun. Lord, we love you. Besides for the joy, which we equivocate to spirituality, we usually say joy is fruit of the Spirit and fun and just comes as a result of those kind of things. But God, you're fun. You are joy out on the outer limbs. You are watching people get saved and miracles get saved and great grace take place. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. While you've got your heads bowed, why don't you just stay in that position right now? Just let me just ask, is there anyone in here tonight and when I ask this, I'm going to pray. And as I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment. And if you would like to be included in this prayer, then I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand. If there's anybody in here tonight, you're not sure of your salvation. That means you're not sure that you have really ever totally accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you don't even know how to do that. Maybe you're not quite sure. Maybe other churches have shown you different ways. The way is very simple. Jesus said, I am the way. If any man believes in me, if he trusts in me, if he believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that God has raised Jesus from the dead, he will be saved. And so if you're here tonight and you are in question, and I mean like if you were to die tonight, if you're not quite sure where you would go, if I asked you and said, where would you go? And you said, I'll go to heaven. And if I said, why? If you said, because I have joined a church, that's not a sufficient answer. If you say, because I'm doing my best, I'm sorry, that is not a sufficient answer. If you say, I have trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ lives in my heart, then that is the right answer. So if you're here tonight, I'm going to pray this prayer. We're all going to pray it together. If you've never prayed this prayer and you need Christ in your life, would you please just raise your hand? Is there anybody in here tonight that needs Christ in your life? Okay, there's two hands. Wonderful. You can put them down. Thank you. Anybody else? Two people have raised their hand. Is there anybody else that wants to be included in on this prayer? You say, I'm going to say it, but I want you to know that when I say it, it's me saying it from my heart, and it's for the first time, and I believe Christ will come in. Is there anybody else before we pray this prayer? Okay, wonderful. Two hands have gone up. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask that all of us pray it together. Then I'm going to ask that as we pray it together, that the ones that raise their hands will just do this. Believe it with simplicity. Say it and mean it. That's all you have to do. Say it and mean it. And then Christ will be your Savior. Amen. Let's say this prayer, all of us together in unison, out loud, together now. Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you that He died for my sins. Father, I receive that sacrifice, His death, for me. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, come into my life. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my past. Cleanse me. Wash me. Give me all of you, Lord. And I will serve you the rest of my life. I receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. A couple people raise their hand. If I'm not going to ask those people to say anything, I'm not going to ask them to come forward, but if those people would, it would help. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me on this earth, I would be ashamed of you. But if you're proud of me, I'll be proud of you. That means if you'll just say, yes, I'm proud that I've received Christ. If those people would just stand just for a second, could you do that? Would you just stand up if you prayed that prayer? Fantastic. You're one of them. Thanks. And you are the other. You may be seated. Let's give them another great big hand. Hallelujah. Rex or Reuben or some of you guys, will you make sure you get their names and addresses for us and so we can contact them? How many have had a wonderful time tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you as you give tonight. We love you. We will see many of you Friday night. The rest of you, we'll see you Sunday. God bless and have a wonderful next couple of days. And greet these young men and tell them how proud you are of them tonight. Amen.